All right, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, right? It's the will of God for the child of God in this age that we live in, right? To be in the house of God, and it's just a blessing to be here tonight. It was great to get some of the those songs tonight. In the Garden was my grandmother's favorite song. That was a great, I love that song. And Jesus Loves Me, because that's going to tie in right what we're going to be talking about here to some extent tonight. So it's been a real blessing. All right, so if you can turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter number 4, please. Colossians chapter number 4. This morning, Brother Carter said that he was the second string. Right, Pastor Donnie's first string. You're the second string. I'm the third string. And Pastor Meter, on Wednesday, I hear you're speaking. So welcome to the scrubs, you and me. You're the guest speaker. All right. Well, praise the Lord. He's good. All right. We're gonna look at Colossians chapter number 4. As soon as I get there. Okay. All right. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Father, as we open up the Word of God tonight, we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would teach us what we need to know from Your Word tonight. Lord, challenge our hearts with Your Word. Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to be open and receptive to Your Word and to allow You to do the work in our lives that would honor and glorify You this night. Draw us closer to Thee, O God, this night, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yeah. Well, when Pastor Donnie asked me to see if I could fill in here, I said to him, you know what, I'm going to just continue on in your portraits series. And I know he's been doing this portrait series in the Old Testament right now, and I said, well, we're going to do another portrait tonight. And tonight we're going to look at a portrait of misplaced love, a portrait of misplaced love. And we want to look at the life of Demas. We've probably heard messages before on him, but we want to look at his life as a life of misplaced love. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And we want to look tonight here at the misplaced love of Demas. The misplaced love of Demas. The first thing I'd like you to see here about him is he was a saved man. He was a saved man. His name actually means, by the way, the Bible never records his conversion. We never see that anywhere else in the Bible. He is just found with the Apostle Paul in Rome during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. And so we don't see his conversion, but we certainly have evidence to see that he was a man that was saved. His name, Demas, means popular. It's a shortened form of the word Demetrius, or the name Demetrius, which is a pretty common Greek name. And the name Demetrius means someone who belongs to Demeter or Ceres, the goddess of agricultural and rural life. I got to thinking about it. Maybe this guy was from a rural area. It doesn't tell us where he was from. Bible never tells us for sure where he was from. But maybe he was a country boy. You know, he was a guy that just wasn't involved in the city that all, and just got kind of enamored by what he saw in the big cities. But that's what his name means. We see him first in the Bible here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14 with the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Here in Acts chapter 28, the Bible tells us Paul was under house arrest, as it were, in his own hired house. And he was able to receive people in to be able to teach and preach the gospel. What a great opportunity. Only God could open up that in the middle of Rome, and the Apostle Paul just having liberty to be able to preach the gospel and receive anybody that came in. You couldn't talk about a better open door that he had. Well, we first see Demas here in Rome. And it may have been that Demas got saved under Paul's outreach and under Paul's ministry in Rome. We're not told that, but it's very possible that Demas could have gotten saved while he was in Rome under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, in chapter number 4 and verse 14, so we saw that saying here that Demas was a saved man, and secondly, we see that he was a surrendered man. He was a surrendered man. In verse 14, he said, Demas greets you. Now, this was the picture of a person who was others-minded. And this epistle of Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul and sent to the church of Colossae. And various different people were sending their greetings who were in Rome with the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae. And one of them was Demas. We don't know if Demas ever went to Colossae. Bible never tells us that. But he did send his outward greetings to that church, and it showed us that shows me that he was a person that was other person minded at this point in his life. The Bible does tell us that we are to surrender our lives, right? Yield our lives to the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Yield you yourselves unto God. And then it tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren. We've heard this scripture many times. It's one of my favorite in the Bible. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I cannot help but believe that at this point in his life, Demas was a man who was yielded to and surrendering in his life to the Lord at this point in his life. And it asks and it begs the question to us, have we yielded our lives to the Lord, and do we continue to daily surrender our lives to him? Now, the third thing I want you to see about Demas is if you flip over a few pages in the Bible to the book of Philemon, the third thing I would like you to see about him is that he was a man who was serving. He was saved, surrendered, and he was serving. He was serving the Lord. Now, the book of Philemon was written from the Apostle Paul in Paul's first Roman imprisonment and was sent to Philemon and at the same time that the book of Colossians was sent. And in Philemon, verse number 24, the Bible says, and these are greetings from people, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. This word, fellow laborers, a co-laborer, a companion in labor, a fellow helper, someone that works together with you. And that is the natural result of salvation and surrender, is sooner or later it's got to come out in service, where you want to do something for the Lord and for the Savior. So a few thoughts I had about this is, number one, the man was a laborer here. He was not, at this point, lazy or negligent in his life. He was working for the same person and the same cause as the Apostle Paul at this point in his life. He labored both for God and he labored with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us that as we labor for the Lord, we labor together with God. With God. Isn't that great to be able to have God as your co-worker? We all sometimes complain about co-workers that we have to deal with or whatever. Hey, how about having a co-worker? You know my co-worker? I got this great co-worker. His name is God. And he's the fellow laborer. Also, as Demas worked for and with the Lord, God worked in Demas and through him by the power of his Spirit. A couple of verses that I would just like to read about God's power and his work in our lives. Ephesians 3 and 16 tells us that we are strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. It tells us in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That's the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And then Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It is God that gives the strength, and it's not us. He strengthens us in the inner man. It's not us doing the work. It's God doing it through us. And something else that I noticed here, if you flip back to Colossians chapter number 4, we're going to start in verse number 7. I want you to see who Demas had the opportunity to serve God with. And this, just looking at this, makes it so much more tragic of what he did in his life. Look who he got to minister with. And by the way, it does matter who you associate with as a believer. Evil communications corrupt good manners, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33. But look at this all-star group of people that he got to minister with. Chapter 4, verse 7. "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who's a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." So we got a trusted, beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord in Tychicus. Verse number 9. "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you." Obviously, Onesimus was the converted slave that the Apostle Paul was sending back to Philemon after he was saved in Rome. And the Bible tells us he is a faithful and beloved brother. Look at verse number 10. "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you." So Aristarchus was a fellow prisoner with Paul and a trusted companion. And actually, Aristarchus was from Thessalonica. Keep that in the back of your mind, okay? He was from Thessalonica. And he actually was a fellow prisoner with the Apostle Paul. Look at verse number 10. "Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." The author of the Gospel of Mark here that God used was Marcus. And so he was here, a man who earlier in his life had disappointed the Apostle Paul and failed him when he turned back in Paul's first missionary journey. But now he's with him in Rome as somebody who's profitable for the ministry and somebody that God used to write the book of Mark. Verse 11, "And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision." Here was a Jewish man who was a fellow worker and a comfort to Paul. It says here in the end of that verse, "These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." In verse number 12 and 13, "Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis." Here's a man, most likely, who was the founder of the church of Colossae, a servant of Christ in verse 12, a prayer warrior in verse 12, and a man zealous for the welfare of local churches. Wow, what a great guy to be able to rub shoulders with and hang around with. Verse number 14, "Luke, the beloved physician, was there at this point." So Luke, a man that God used to pen the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. So a huge section of the New Testament. One of the only, actually the only Gentile author of the New Testament is the Luke, the beloved physician. And obviously he was with the Apostle Paul, possibly the greatest Christian in recorded history. And I calculated it out that Demas got to serve with men that wrote 17 of the 27 books in the New Testament. He had that close contact with all of these guys who knew God, loved God, and walked with God. And the lesson to me was, hey, yield your life to the Lord so that you too may be able to fellowship with and learn from the wisdom of godly, experienced Christian men who know and walk with the Lord. Bible tells us, Proverbs 13 and verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So at this point, things are going good for Demas. You know, he's sending his greetings. He's a fellow laborer, and things are going well. Now, the fourth thing I want you to see here about Demas, and let's flip on over to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. Is that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see that Demas stopped. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Actually, verse 7, let's start there. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all, unto all them also that love his appearing. What a great portion of Scripture. What a bright light we've got here in the book of 2 Timothy. And then, verse 9, he says to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. And I don't believe that Crescens and Titus had forsaken the Apostle Paul. I believe those men were dispatched to different areas by the Apostle Paul to minister. But his focus comes on here on Demas. He hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. In Acts chapter 28, when the Apostle Paul had freedom and liberty to receive visitors, Demas enjoyed and thrived during that time. But Paul was released, and for a period of probably about 1 to 2 years, was able to go back out again and travel again before he was rearrested by Nero. And not this time into a hired house where things were pretty comfortable and cozy and nice. This time into a dark, deep dungeon called the Mamertine Prison. And Paul was confined in that dungeon, and the Bible tells us Demas forsook Paul after his arrest, prompting Paul here to write to Timothy to say, come shortly to help him. Only Luke was with him. One thing I noticed also as I studied this, that Demas is paired with Luke three times in the Scriptures. He's paired with him in Philemon. He's paired with him in Colossians, and he's also paired with him here, but in the same context, but not paired together going on and serving the Lord. He was paired together with Luke. And it says Demas forsook the Apostle Paul. The word forsake means to leave behind and to desert somebody, to leave them helpless or to leave them in the lurch. And you know, Demas did this at a time when the Apostle Paul needed Demas the most. All that was there left at that point was Luke and Demas. Luke probably attending to the Apostle Paul's physical needs as the beloved physician. Jesus, the great physician, but Luke was the beloved physician. And my guess is that Demas was probably kind of their minister who would kind of go out and maybe get food or get supplies or run errands or whatever, do whatever he needed to do to help the Apostle Paul at this point in his life. Only two guys left, and now one of them deserts. So that's why the Apostle Paul had to say in verse 11, only Luke is with me. All I got left is Luke. So Timothy, make haste to come to me. And I want you to see here tonight that Demas's great sin was this. he chose to stop loving God. That was Demas's great sin. Before he departed, and before he loved the world, he made the choice to stop loving God. Let us beware of this. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And oh, how we need to be prevented from stopping loving God. See, that was the first step in Demas's life. He chose to stop loving God. And I really believe that we need to daily do what it takes to be filled with the Spirit of God, who is the source of our love for God. Of our love for God. Daily self-examining ourselves and confessing sin. Daily yielding to the Spirit of God in our lives. Daily asking him to fill us and control us. Daily believing that we are controlled and thanking God for it. Daily walking in the Spirit. Daily in the Word of God, as Brother Carter mentioned this morning. Daily dealing with our sin. Daily in praying without ceasing. Daily guarding against grieving the Holy Spirit of God by anger in our lives, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. And guarding against quenching the Spirit of God by fear in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Daily doing what it takes to be under the control of the Spirit of God, who is the source of our love. And the first fruit mentioned of the Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love. Secondly, daily reflect upon how much God loves you to build up your love for him. You know, I just was thinking about how can I love? How can I keep my love for God going on and aflame and so forth? Daily reflecting upon how much God loves you and build up your love for him. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Thinking about the love that God showed to us when he sent his son to Calvary for us and all that he's shown us in love since that point. The psalmist David said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Hey, there's a good reason that you can love God. He hears your prayers and he answers prayers. Daily taking action to obey God's word that he teaches you. Prove to him that you love him by obeying him. The Bible tells us, if Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, love has got to have an outlet. And one of the outlets of love is doing God's commandments and doing God's word, being a doer of the word. And one of the things that Jesus rebuked the church in Ephesus on when he said, you have left your first love. And then he instructed them, remember and repent. In other words, get the spiritual things right in your heart. And then he said, and do the first works. In other words, get back to doing what you in love used to do for me. And daily take action to obey God's word. Another thought I had was daily decide to love the Lord whether you feel like it or not. Sometimes we don't feel like that we want to love somebody or love the Lord, but you know what? Loving the Lord is the first and greatest commandment in the Bible. Therefore, disobedience to that command is one of the greatest sins, right? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, he said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself there. So loving the Lord. Love is a choice. I know many people really like to have that phrase that they fell in love with their wife or their spouse or whatever. I don't really like that phrase, because you know what? I didn't fall in love with my wife. I chose to love my wife. And I choose to love the Lord. It is the basis of a choice that we make. And I really feel that that's an important thing. Also, daily reflect upon how much Jesus had to suffer for your sins, and daily reflect on how great a sinner you were. And I was. I love that portion of scripture. And just turn over with me quickly to Luke chapter number 7. I love that portion of scripture about the sinful woman who came and really showed what it was like to truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll pick it up here in verse number 45, verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." So here's a woman that gives us the perfect example of what it is to love the Lord Jesus. She knew how many sins she had committed, and she knew she had been forgiven, and she just couldn't help but fall down at his feet and love the Lord. So Demas, saved, surrendered, served, stopped, and then next, Demas started. Demas started. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 4 again here. Demas started. It says here, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." This present world. Once you stop loving the Lord, the natural result is going to be you're going to start to love something else. And the default that we default to is we start to love this present world, this world that we live in. Now, Demas saw much of what the world had to offer, most likely, in Rome during Paul's first imprisonment there. Demas was in Rome, we know, twice, during Paul's first imprisonment and Paul's second imprisonment. And he saw what the world had to offer in a big city. If Demas was from Thessalonica, the Bible says that he was departed unto Thessalonica. This was a large and worldly seaport city. Maybe Demas got tired of the life of sacrifice that he had to go through being associated with the Apostle Paul. And once you start forsake, or once you stop loving the Lord, we are easy prey to Satan's attacks and his temptation to start to love the world, to love the world. The Bible says here, Demas loved this present world, the present world. Stressed the present and not the future. And that's a pretty, he got his eyes off of the long-term, eternal look, which I'm sure he had at one point when he was serving the Lord with all those guys mentioned in Colossians chapter number 4. But now all those guys are not there anymore, and he and the Apostle Paul and Luke and it isn't happy times anymore. It's rough, and it's the enduring of a tough imprisonment. And he got his eyes off the long range and eternal, and became consumed with the short range and time. The present is not, the lesson in that is the present is not all there is. Don't be spiritually short-sighted. Take the long look. I remember the story of, Esau in the Bible? Here's a perfect example of a guy that just looked at what's in front of him and did not look down the road and sold his birthright for, a bowl of lentils, pottage? He sold his birthright and just made such a short-term decision. The Bible says here also, Demas hath forsaken me, and has loved this present world, this present world. Now, there are two words primarily in the Bible and the New Testament for the word world. One of them is a word called cosmos, and this is the world under the aspect of space. The world under the aspect of space and this whole world system energized by the devil. Okay, that is one of the Greek words that is used for world. But the word used here for world is not cosmos. It's a different word that means age. He loved this present age. That is the aspect of the world based upon time and not upon space. And it means this age, this generation, this period of time marked by certain spiritual and moral characteristics. And what characteristics is this age marked by? Well, here's a few. The Bible speaks of the cares of this age in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22. When it's talking about the different seeds that are sown and the cares of this age or this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. It speaks also of the children of this world. In Luke chapter 16, it says the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And so it speaks of the children of this world. It speaks of the rulers of this age. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when it talks about the rulers of this age and of Jesus' lifetime that crucified the Lord of glory, it talks about the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of this age in 1 Corinthians 1:20, where it talks about the wisdom of man and the wisdom of this age. It talks about the fashion of this age in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to this world or to this current age marked by all of the corruption in it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It talks about the character of this world in Galatians 1 and 4, where it's called this present evil world or this present evil age that we live in. And then it talks in 2 Corinthians 4:4 about the God of this world or the God of this age who is Satan. So Demas chose to love this present age that we are living, that we live in, the corruptible world that we live in. And once Demas stopped loving God, he was easily swept down the raging river of this present age with no restraint to fight the torrential current of this world. Let me give you an example of that. A few years ago, my wife and I went up to Niagara Falls, and we were on the American side of Niagara Falls, and so we decided to go, we saw the falls, but we wanted to kind of see where the headwaters were coming down to the falls. So we went over there in that area. And as we walked over in that area, there was kind of a little island that jutted out. You could walk out to that island. And as we walked out to that island, there was a family of Canada geese that were there. And the mother and father were there. And there was a bunch of little, I don't know, what are they, goslings or whatever they are, the little geese kids, whatever they are. And one of these little Canadian geese kept on trying to come over to the side and skirt underneath the fence to get down to the water. And if that, and we and a couple other people were trying to shush it back. No, you don't want to go underneath that fence. Go back to mommy. Go back to mommy and daddy. And we got it away from the fence, but it kept on coming back to the fence. So my wife and I continued on a little bit farther, went out to the point and saw everything out there. And when we came back, apparently that little one had gone underneath the fence and was going for the water. You know, they're naturally going for the water. But that little one did not know that it was in the torrential stream that was getting ready to pour right over the Niagara Falls. And that's just like it is when you stop loving the Lord and you turn to love this present age and are just swept right down the river, right over the waterfall on that end of it. And that was a great illustration that I could think about of what Demas chose to do at this point in his life. So he was saved, he surrendered, he served, he stopped loving God, he started loving the world, then he strayed. We see that here sixthly here. He strayed, for Demas hath forsaken me. Demas forsook the Lord. Demas forsook Paul's God firstly in his heart. And nobody could see that happening. The Apostle Paul and Luke, or maybe whoever, they couldn't see the inside of Demas' heart, but God could see the inside of Demas' heart. So Demas firstly forsook Paul's God. Then he forsook Paul's person. Everybody could see that. The Apostle Paul could see that Demas was forsaking him and was leaving. And the lesson in that is your body's going to follow where your heart and desires go to. And that's why it's so important to keep your heart with all diligence, the scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says that he is departed. He went astray. He was departed from someone. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul says he went to Thessalonica. I wonder if he told the Apostle Paul where he was going, or if he just kind of quietly slipped out of the Apostle Paul's life and just kind of took off on his own. Somehow, the Apostle Paul found out that he was going to be in Thessalonica. So I don't know if he told him or not. My guess is he probably didn't, if he had forsaken the Lord in his heart and was forsaking the Apostle Paul here now. A couple thoughts about Thessalonica. It may have been Demas' hometown. We really don't know that, but if it was, he was going back to his own life before he came to Christ, back to his old life. Thessalonica was a commercial and military city on the major Roman road with great wealth, but also with great vice. It was a wicked city, and it had a lot of vice in it. And if he was not from Thessalonica, he would no doubt have heard about Thessalonica from his fellow Christian servant, Aristarchus. Remember, we looked at before? Aristarchus was from Thessalonica. And I don't know if Aristarchus kind of filled Demas in on what Thessalonica was like and so forth. I'm sure Aristarchus wasn't trying to tell him, oh, you need to go there so you can and go the way of the world. I'm sure Aristarchus had been saved and come out of the world in that ministry in Thessalonica, which was a great ministry there. And today, Thessalonica is the capital city of Greek Macedonia, kind of similar to like maybe a New York City, and it was like the kind of a New York City in those days, and a city where Demas had an opportunity to acquire wealth, maybe pleasure, comforts, and ease. And maybe he could make it big time in the city of Thessalonica. Years ago, there was a young man that I knew, actually who came to BBA. He came and he went to BBA for a period of time. He didn't graduate, I don't believe, from BBA. But he told me he was going out west. And he was leaving everything. He was going out west and he was going to make it big time. He was going to make it big time. I felt like saying, that means you're going to go on big time for the Lord? You're going to go on and serve the Lord? Nope, I'm going to make it big time. Well, he didn't make it big time. And he got killed while he was out there. And it just ended up as a tragedy of a life. And Demas went to a city here where he could have freedoms politically. Thessalonica was a free city in the Roman Empire. It was a city where he could hide from the other Christians because it had such a massive population. And if no one knew this man, if he was not from Thessalonica, no Christian would recognize him there. He could just blend in with the crowd in this massive population. So Demas strayed. He strayed. He was saved, surrendered, served, stopped loving God, started loving the world, strayed. And lastly, I want you to see Demas is sorry. He must regret it now. He must really regret it now. His life has gone down forever in the Word of God in shame. 1 Corinthians 3:15 tells us, saved, yet so as by fire. And he, like all of us, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And 1 John 2:28 says, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Would you want to be in this guy's shoes when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I want to learn from this guy's lesson to not stop loving God, the very first point. Not stop loving God. Tonight when we came here, I asked Brother Will to have one of the songs that we sung as Come Thou Fount. Come Thou Fount. Come Thou Fount was written by a man named Robert Robinson, author of the hymn Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And Robert Robinson lost the happy communion with the Savior that he once enjoyed. And in his declining years, he wandered into the byways of sin. As a result, he became deeply troubled in spirit, and hoping to relieve his mind, he decided to travel. Kind of like Demas. In the course of his journeys, he became acquainted with a young woman on spiritual matters, and so she asked him of what he thought of a hymn she had just been reading. To his astonishment, he found it to be none other than his own composition, Come Thou Fount. He tried to evade her question, but she continued to press him for a response. Suddenly, Robert Robinson began to weep. With tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, I'm the man that wrote that hymn many years ago. I'd give anything to experience again the joy that I knew then. Although greatly surprised, the woman reassured him that the streams of mercy mentioned in that song still flowed. And Mr. Robinson was deeply touched, turning his wandering heart to the Lord. He was restored to full fellowship with the Lord. So the man that wrote, Come Thou Fount, went the way of Demas, but you know what? He came back. He was restored. He came back. The Bible never tells us that Demas ever did. It closes out the history on his life in verse number 10, having loved this present world and has departed. So I learned from that, just because we may have served or loved the Lord in the past doesn't guarantee you're going to do it in the future. Wherefore, if a man thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. Therefore, daily choose to love the Lord. And don't stop doing it for the rest of your life. Jude chapter 1, verse 21 says, keep yourself in the love of God. Years ago, I remember a message that Pastor Meter preached here, and it was so simple, but it burned in my mind. His outline was, love him, learn of him, and live for him. Love the Lord, learn of the Lord, live for the Lord, and make your days and make your life count for eternity. Make your life count for eternity. One last little illustration I'd like to get on that, just to do this. Many of you know, or if you don't, the story of C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd was a great cricket player probably in the early 1900s, late 1800s. And an English cricket player, he would kind of be called almost like the All-American nowadays. He would be like an All-Pro in the sport of cricket. And he was also in a house that was a very, very wealthy house. He came from a very wealthy household. And C.T. Studd got saved, And God called him to the mission field, where he served in China for about 25 years. And then he came back from there, and the doctors said, "You know, your health is bad." And so he came back, and he says, "Okay, instead, I'm going to go to Africa, and I'll serve the rest of my life in the mission field in Africa." And C.T. Studd went to Africa and preached the word of God and did a great work in missions in Africa and died in Africa. And he wrote that tremendous, famous poem that we sometimes have heard, and I've heard it maybe even read from this pulpit before, but I think it bears reading one more time. And it goes like this. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ shall last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I'll know, I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee." What a picture of a man who lived for God and greatly served God, C.T. Studd. And what a picture of shame that it brings on the life of Demas and the lessons that it teaches us. Hey, none of us are exempt from falling in our love from God, from having our love grow cold in our hearts. And every single one of us just need to continue. Let's just keep loving God. Choose to love him and choose to surrender to him, serve him, and not to stop it in our lives. Let's pray here. Father, we're just so grateful now for the word of God tonight. And Lord, all these things you said to us are ensamples. They're examples. And they are written to us upon whom the ends of the world are come, that we might take heed and learn from these examples. And oh God, may our hearts and our lives continue to love you. Lord, if we've strayed in our heart, if we've started in our hearts to lose our first love and to depart from our first love, God, bring us back, even like you did the author of that hymn, "Come Thou Fount," so that the streams of mercy from God continue to minister to our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, may you just continue to do the work in our lives here. May we walk in love toward each other and love for you, love for your word. For we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.